The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at some point during the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So, I think Nassau is out in the clear now. Nicole is gone. Grand Bahama fairly much is clear now, but, you know, just some breeze and a little something. I tried to get out today, me and my son, but they told us, okay, we're going to try leave at 12 o'clock. And can't come 12 o'clock, they said, no, we can't leave at 12 o'clock. We got to give you an update at 2 o'clock. Because apparently there is some substantial water on the runway in Freeport and seaweed and the like, and they're trying to clear that so that the runway could take craft. So the airport remains, at least as far as I had been informed just about a half hour or so ago, remains closed. So if you're in Freeport trying to get, and Nassau trying to get to Freeport and not happening. If you're anywhere trying to get to Freeport, apparently at the moment there's nothing happening unless something has changed, and I don't know of anything having changed. I think that there are some power outages that's still being dealt with in Grand Bahama, and I suppose some debris issues and the like still being dealt with. And so, so far, I don't know what the assessment is, so I'm not going to launch into, you know, this happened and that happened or didn't happen. I don't know. We're going to have to see what, in fact, took place. I know in Nassau, some coastal erosion and some coastal damage has been done. So, you know, that's going to have to be dealt with. I saw public works people already on the streets trying to secure roads and the like. So, you know. Thankfully, I think so far, thankfully, we didn't have anything close to the devastation of a Dorian anywhere. Once again, we have to be grateful that even if Nassau was impacted, Nassau was not impacted in a way that nobody wants. Biggest hurricane in Nassau so far is Hurricane FTX. That's the biggest hurricane in Nassau. FTX. We can talk about that a bit after some comments being made by Sam Bankman-Fried, which I find incredible because I would have thought that given what is happening, that he would be very careful making comments at this point. But some of the comments that he's made, just like they're jaw-dropping. Really, they are just stunning. And continue to force, I believe, questions about many things. Many things, maybe even some regulatory questions. About many things, right? His basic premise, I made a miscalculation. You're running a multi-billion dollar enterprise and you
miscalculation?
Like, one would have thought that given the volume of monies you're dealing with, that you have calculators on top of calculators calculating the calculations of the calculators. Right? Not you're not sitting around making calculations yourself. Now, as a CEO, accepting responsibility ultimately for what has happened, of course, you ultimately become responsible because it's your enterprise. But I made a calculation error. And so, you know, listen, let me be clear. It's easy when people are hurting, when people are wounded, to pounce. That's easy. And it's one of the cruelest aspects of our human nature that could be displayed, that we can pounce on people where they're down. This young man came up with an idea, put that idea out there, generated enormous value. People got on board to support that value, inclusive of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that registered his enterprise in its regime. And, you know, so commending him for that, some of us couldn't generate an idea that produced a dollar in value, right? So I'm not coming down on Mr. Freed at all, right? He did something incredible with this enterprise of his. But, you know, but sometimes the spectacular really begs caution. And maybe not enough caution was demonstrated here, you know? Can this situation be rescued? I really don't know. I don't know. It is a massive fall from grace. It has a great many moving parts that are having to be investigated. And there are many lives involved with this matter. People who worked in this enterprise, people who invested in this enterprise, people who traded through this enterprise, people who based future decisions on this enterprise, that they thought that their business would be fueled by this enterprise into the future. They have had properties that were involved with what this enterprise has been about, and so forth and so forth. So not just in the world, but here in the Bahamas. So now, based on FTX's free fall, all kinds of recalculations are having to be made in the lives of people. All kinds of recalculations about, you know, income, business prospects, charitable proceeds, all kinds of things. Now, let me tell you all something. The Bahamas, I'm talking about the Bahamas because I live here. I don't live elsewhere. And that what I'm about to say might be true elsewhere. It could very well be the case, but I live here. I ain't gonna lie to you, right? If somebody is a billionaire many times over, I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you've been able to amass that kind of money. That's really impressive, right? I mean, seriously? It is very difficult to make a couple thousand dollars. If you get to amass a fortune of the in billions, that is impressive. Anyone, well, I can't say anyone, but lots of people are impressed by that. But I do believe, I do honestly believe that some of us, both in officialdom and in ordinary life, we get enchanted by the wealth that people flash before us. We get enchanted by it. And it causes us to miscuse. It causes us to throw caution to the wind where under ordinary circumstances we wouldn't do so. Somebody with modest means comes to you with a grand idea and all of a sudden we ask 10,000,640,000 questions. I know of enterprises in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that have been subject to such significant regulation, such significant scrutiny, such significant inspection that you, like, before you get started, you wonder, my God, how much of a crook am I? Because you start to think yourself, I must be a crook. That's how much scrutiny you put under. But it isn't unusual that we kind of give a pass, even if it's not like a pass in terms of no scrutiny, but we kind of think, man, listen, if you got that kind of multiple billions of dollars and you generated a company that size and you did this and you did that and you did the next thing, man, you must know what you're doing. You must be a daggone genius to have done what you've done. And so therefore, who am I to second guess you? Listen to me. Listen to this now. I want you to listen to this. The Commonwealth of the Bahamas generates in income every year, when it was at its peak, $12 billion. This man's company was worth $24 billion. Twice the size of the Bahamian economy, and he came here. But I want to hear you something. I want to tell you something that shocked you. The man was 30 years old. 30 years old. 30 years old. Like when you see a 30-year-old come to give you advice and talk to you, what you start to say, okay, bro, now listen, check yourself. Check yourself. You 30 years old, man. You ain't even experienced life yet. 30 years old. $24 billion company. But you will embrace that because it's $24 billion. And you could give a million here, throw out a million there, buy $100 million there. And we just think that, you know what? Let it rip. But under ordinary circumstances, if a Bahamian 30-year-old came to you and told you he had $50 million, tell me how many flags would go up in your head. Right? Tell me when you stop thinking, now, how he do this, what he do this with, and so forth. And I'm not even suggesting that that should go up with respect to, say, a Freed, right? I'm just saying that sometimes the spectacular, especially when it comes to wealth, can really enchant us. And we may not exercise all the slow bureaucratic controls that tend to exist to do what? Slow things down so that we could say, you know what? Let me really, 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 really check. What is the underlying assets supporting your company? What is it really? What is the exact nature of your business that you are doing? Because I want to tell you something, right? I was reading some stuff on what happened with FTX, and when I discovered that some of the products of FTX were derivatives. Anybody out there know what a derivative is? Okay, so you have stocks and you have bonds, right? So stocks are equities in company. That's basic shares in a company. bonds are lending instruments for a company, right? Derivatives are ways they take them stocks and bonds and package them up so that they can have all kind of sophisticated this, that, and the next thing, so that you can even you can't even identify the underlying asset by the time as you get to this thing you're trading. Let me tell you something. There is no unsophisticated investor that should be involved with anything that is a derivative. That's sophisticated investor business. That's the kind of investors you say, listen, if you get doing, ain't no problem, because you sophisticated enough to understand how to deal with those. What you don't do is have average folks investing in derivatives without the requisite regulatory framework for that to happen. That just don't happen, right? So I was thinking, like, but this is an exchange, and like at some point there are derivatives that get involved with this whole thing. So it seemed to me that the business that was being undertaken was a bit more, certainly more complex than we initially understood. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, that's just my 4.5 cents. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break. To take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance talk. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor. Drive to Bay Street to get a home quote. Swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You're talking about some FTX. Let me tell you something. Like, businesses can fail in multiple ways. Do we have a call on the line? Yeah. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. Hello? Okay. We have lost them. Businesses can fail in multiple ways. Multiple, right? That's why business is really not simple. It's really quite complex, right? You can have failure business because something changes with your market, right? The consumers. The consumers can find themselves in economic difficulty and no longer able to afford your product or services. Consumers can change their preferences so that they don't even want your product or services anymore. Consumers can, even just rebel against purchasing from you, and that can cause business failure. You can have business failure in terms of industry-wide challenges and problems, right? Maybe some outbreak in an industry, maybe some regulatory change in an industry makes the industry now uncompetitive. Maybe some political action has taken place that causes it to be impossible to do that business. So you can have some change across the industry that can cause failure. You can have failure because the inputs into your production has run into difficulty, maybe supply difficulty, maybe pricing difficulty, maybe technological difficulties, and that can cause you to be unable to make your product or unable to make your product at the price that you wanted to make the product at and maybe to make it possible for your customers to afford, and that could run you into difficulty. You can have failure due to operational reasons, so maybe some technical glitch, critical glitch, some human resource circumstance of sourcing talent or being able to afford the talent or some shift in talent caused you to be unable now to produce your thing as you wanted to. You can have some financial glitch that causes you to fail. Maybe the capital that you wanted is no longer available. Maybe the cost of that capital is too high for you to afford. Maybe you ran your books in a way that caused you to miscalculate the real value of your inventory, your assets, to cause you to offset your pricing or price your items or something of that nature. There's a ton of operational things that could have gone wrong. There is something that happens in respect to larger companies that also can cause problems, and it's called governance, right? Where typically you have a board that overlooks the strategic direction of the company, and the board may make miscalculations about that strategy. The board may not be paying sufficient attention to what's happening at the operational level and miss some things. The board does not ensure that there's the kind of risk controls in place that ensures that improprieties are not taking place, that you aren't taking undue risk, that you aren't involved with conflicts of interest that might compromise the decision-making of the management team and the company itself and so forth and so forth. So there are multiple ways in which a company can come to fail, right? And some of those ways has nothing to do with any nefariousness on the part of the owner or the operators of the company, nor any unethical or moral misjudgments of the owners or of the company. Sometimes it's just bad decisions. Sometimes they're just decisions that have been critical failures for the company. Sometimes it is a question of impropriety. Sometimes it is a question of unethical behavior. Sometimes it is a question of compromised conflicts of interest that causes the company to fail. So you can have failure take place on many levels. When companies are involved with handling people's finances that can bring them into immense problems and can pose systemic risk to a economic system or financial system, those companies have to come into the ambit of regulators. Regulators who ensure that certain framework exists, certain things are put in place to manage and reduce. They can't eliminate altogether. They just try to manage and reduce the risk of those companies' failures and the implications of that failure for their clients, their vendors, and the like. These exchanges, these financial institutions, the banks, the insurance companies, the corporate financial service providers, and the like, these are those kinds of entities where you want, the state has an interest in their operating in such a way that they do not bring reputational harm, financial harm, either to the clients or to the system or to the country. That's the idea. It's a nuisance to have regulators, right? You feel like that, right? Because you'd like to just do things and do your business and let them stilt your way and stilt your business, and I don't need you all to be in my business, etc. But the reason they exist is to try to ensure that people aren't taken advantage of, that the system isn't brought into disrepute, that critical failures of the system doesn't have a contagion that makes it impossible to trade in the system anymore, so that the state, the country itself, can function well. So it's really a protection mechanism, these regulators and the regulatory regimes under which they operate. And laws, and hear me when I say this. This is one of the things that I think that we have got to get a better handle on. Laws are only one element of that regulatory regime. Putting the law in place that says you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the next thing before you get registered or after you get registered or when you want to close, that's just one part of it, because that law means absolutely nothing without enforcement. And that enforcement means you have to have the personnel, you have to have the personnel expertise, you have to have the requisite due diligence and vigilance to ensure that the thing the law sets out to do is actually done. And sometimes you, the regulators, are relying on the resources of the state in order to do what they do. And sometimes those resources are not adequate. And so they're really kind of trying to make do and do their jobs. When they are dealing with sometimes massive entities, with massive resources, with massive and sophisticated operations that they have to be able on a daily basis to delve into, to monitor and ensure, you know what, is everything really okay? That's the job of the regulators. I don't envy them at all. But when things like FTX's fall happen, that whole environment comes into scrutiny. The whole environment, whether deserved or undeserved, it's going to happen. The whole Bahamian regulatory regime is going to come into scrutiny. The whole thing. What were you looking at? It doesn't help when FTX's boss is making comments like, no, listen to what he says now. There's no issue with the U.S. arm of things. They're good. It's the international arm of things. Really? Seriously? First of all, bro, the international arm of things really has no real asset operations and bases outside of, I believe, what you have been doing through the U.S. I mean, like, is there really some thought that if the U.S. thing fell, that the international arm of things could survive? Really? Seriously? No. Not even close. And in fact, well, like, if you were illiquid and you can't make your clients whole, who are the clients you're trying to make whole? Are they U.S. clients or are these international clients? Who are the clients you're trying to make whole? Who are the ones you can't make whole? Because that's what he said. He said he cannot. He said, according to this article in the Nassau Guardian, top business, FTX in free fall, says Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, revealed yesterday via Twitter that it will not make good on its conditional intent to bail out Bahamian headquartered cryptocurrency exchange FTX, owned by Sam Brinkman. Now, Sam Brinkman tweeted that to his folks that they would not be able to make their clients whole. Little clients. Whose clients are us? S- So, you know, the whole matter is just really a mess, an unfortunate mess. There's nothing about this to gloat about. This is not good news for the country. It's not good news for the people who have tied their incomes and fortunes to FTX's ship. You have people who moved from one place to the next to go and work for FTX, and so it's a problem. It's a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this interesting Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The acting Prime Minister, Chester Cooper, said when asked about the FTX issue that it is a matter for the regulators. Mm-hmm. It's a matter for the regulators. Yeah. I imagine the regulators will have much to do about what is happening. And I see that the Obama Securities Commission is looking at the matter, as is appropriate for them to do, to see what are all the implications are. I don't know where it'll go from here, but It's not a good one. So the Securities Commission is conducting a probe. I suppose, well, but we have not heard directly from anyone about the matter. You know, life is interesting, right? Life is interesting. When things are going well, you know, when things are going well, someone say, a matter for the regulators, hey, listen to me. There is a quote that says, success has many parents, but failure is an orphan. Failure is an orphan. One of the things, you know, that's true is, like at this point, right, the political directorate of the country, like, what can they really say? What would they really know, right? They have to go and get the information to inform them about things, right? But so they can't make technical commentary on what is happening, right? But, you know, when FTX was coming and about, there was a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of commentary on the political side of life about it, and that's understood. You know, when things blow up, step in and say, listen, it's concerning what we are hearing. We're doing the necessary, working along with the regulators to figure out what the implications are, et cetera, and so forth and so forth. That's what you got to do, right? I mean, you know, you can't be well versed in the issue when it's coming and it's nice, and then when things start to blow up, you have to treat it like a real, genuine issue. It's a concern. It's a real concern. Okay? There's a minister responsible for financial services. There's a minister responsible for business and so forth and so forth. It's a real concern. It's all over the world, all over the globe, all over the world. You want to be able to... Don't you know? Listen, man. Let's be clear. Unless somebody does something improper, unless somebody does something under the table, a back door, etc., things happen in systems. You respond to make sure that you can protect the system from any additional damage that might have been caused. But you mustn't, you got to have the courage to be able to say, listen, we are observing this, we're seeing what's going on, we are very concerned about it, but we're going to do the work necessary to figure out what is happening. Maybe it's a teachable moment. Maybe we have learned some lessons now that this new area has come about and so forth and so forth. But don't back down. Don't just own it. Right? And you have so let me read this story. It says, Binance, the world's largest, is the business section of the Nassau Guardian, Chester Robots story. It said, Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, revealed yesterday via Twitter that it will not make good on its conditional intent to bail out Bahamian headquartered cryptocurrency exchange FTX, owned by Sam Bankman-Fried, who has reportedly filed for bankruptcy, according to many sources. Several news sites reported that the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is now looking into the inner workings of FTX after it was announced on Tuesday that Bankman-Fried called Binance owner Changpeng Zhao, also known as CZ, for a bailout after there was a run on FTX's token, FTT, that left FTX in a liquidity crisis. When asked about the developing situation, FTX's vice president of communications and corporate social responsibility, Valdez Russell, told his paper yesterday that the company is currently focused on the well-being of its employees and investors. At FTX, we are focused on the task at hand to protect our customers and to do what is right for our employees and investors, said Russell. We recognize, see, listen to this. This is what I'm talking about. So Valdez says we recognize the enormity of this task and the impact that it will have locally, yet still we resolve to do what is right for our community. That's how you step up and deal with the issue right at front. What is he supposed to do? He's the vice president. What is he supposed to do? Break off running, hide for cover, tell the people that it ain't me. You ain't got to ask them, so forth and so forth. No, man. Whatever it is, if you ain't doing nothing wrong, got to deal with it. Deal with it. But just remember, failure is often. It's success that got all kind of parents share. It was me, child. I born that child. Me, that's my child. We have some text here. Let me see. This text says, good day, laugh out loud. Why do you think Binance felt it necessary to highlight that their HQ is Bahamas-based? Well, I don't know if Binance did that, eh? Was that Binance or was that the reporter? So it seemed odd since they have assets in different jurisdictions, which makes them a global company. Yeah, but they were putting up their headquarters, yeah. So, you know. As I go, boy. As I go, anybody want to belong to you when the stuff hit the ceiling? So good afternoon, sir. In your opinion, is this a black eye for the government? And is it what should the government have done differently? What did Mr. Cooper say or do what was wrong? He said nothing that was wrong. But I do think that, in the circumstances, you can say more than it's just on the regulators, that it's on the regulators. I mean, the regulators were not highlighted when the company was being approved and all the fanfare surrounded the company's decision to do the headquarters. Yeah, the regulators were not highlighted when the conference was made that was so forth. So that's my point. My point is own the whole thing. It's not just a regulatory thing. It is not just a regulatory thing. It is not just a regulatory thing. That is not true. It's more than that. This is a matter of political risk for the country. This is a matter of reputational risk for the country. It's more than that. Okay? It's more than that. So the regulators of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas do not work in and of themselves. They are part of the state machinery. They are part of the government machinery, right? It is a matter for them. That is true, but it is more than a matter for them. It's not just a matter for them. If it was just a matter for them, when FTX was coming in here, why all the fanfare involving our prime minister, involving high-level officials, et cetera, why all of that fanfare? Because it was not just a matter of regulation. You can't have your cake and eat it too, man, right? Can't have your cake and eat it too. Life is what it is, right? We are what we are, good and bad. We are what we are, nice and not so nice. We are all of us. That's what it is, right? And when it's good and you own it. When it's bad and it's bad, you own that too, because that's life, right? Nothing wrong with that at all. So sometimes we get a little sensitive about this stuff because we think, you know, it. Man, listen, in life, blame, criticism can go around all over the place. Who cares? Who cares? It is what it is, and you try to do your best to address what it is. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Say, is this a reputational risk for the Bahamas? It is. It is. It will Listen, if you let me put it this way. This is the simplest way I could put this. Like when FTX came here, and the whole world got hold of FTX is wanting to put their headquarters here, and FTX talked about all the places that it looked to locate, and it finally decided on the Bahamas. Did we regard FTX's endorsement as a reputational uplift for the Bahamas? Is there anybody who thought, wow, that's great, that uplifts the Bahamas? Anybody? Tell me. Well, if you think that it was an uplift for the country, well, why would its fall not be a downgrade for the country in terms of reputation? Why would we think not? Of course there could be. Now, how you manage that doesn't mean that it's beyond rectifying. I mean, listen, man, listen, you fall down, you get up. We are a country. You fall down, you get up, crap happens, you get up and you stand up strong and you be proud and you say, listen, even when you know you've made a mistake, or if you did, you say, you know what, we learned this lesson, so we're going to now rectify that. We're going to make some adjustments in this and adjustments in that to make sure that in the future that these kinds of things won't happen. I'm not even saying that there was anything we did that caused this to happen. I'm just saying, wherever it is, whatever it is, listen, you think, is the United States of America perfect? Is Canada perfect? Is Germany perfect? Is UK perfect? Have they never had a black eye or anything? Some of the biggest scandals on planet Earth involving companies have happened in those jurisdictions. Well, why do we get so afraid? Of what? The only thing life could do to you is teach you. That's it. Teach you from your good and your bad experiences. Life can only teach you. So I don't run around. I'm not going to run around here thinking, oh, Prime Minister Davis Doe's messed up, or the Deputy Prime Minister Doe's messed up. The DARE Act wasn't written and came into force under the Davis administration, you know. But they certainly registered FTX under that administration. So you want to blame somebody, let's carry the blame. Let's carry it all the way back to the UBP then, if that makes you happy. It is it can pose a risk, that's for sure. And someone is asking me, what did the government do is wrong? When somebody murders in the Bahamas, when the murder rate in the Bahamas goes up, what did the government do wrong? When you run around blaming the government for the high crime rate, what did the government do wrong? The government don't murder nobody. But you blame the government. Why? Because you're the government. You run the country. People expect you to run the country. And when it's good, you take credit. When it's bad. Say, Shivago, are we just gullible? Just hang a carrot in front of us? Some of us. Some of us are just gullible. Some of us. Some of us. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many, many, many parents. Well, father's a parent. That's true. This text says, is this indicative of the present administration negotiation skills, or are they so set on trying to get something started that they're overlooking the signs of troubled investors? I wouldn't say that at all. I can't say that at all. That's not the thing I would say. I think that it's an indication that an entity was registered in the jurisdiction and the entity has run into difficulty. Why particular the difficulty? Were they doing things that they were not supposed to be doing under their license, and more risky things than they ought to have been doing? That's a question the regulators will have to address, right? So I don't know the details. I don't know at all. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Beautiful now because the storm passed and it ain't do us as much as we could have get done. And so that's a good thing. When FTX was coming to the Bahamas, it was a red letter day for the country, according to so many. The Prime Minister, if you read today's editorial in The Guardian, the Prime Minister said on the occasion the conference that was held, the crypto conference sponsored by FTX, says the Bahamas and the Bahamians all across our archipelago are ready and willing to partner with you to do business in our great country. Right? This was an indication of the enthusiasm that was shared. Freed said that a lot of countries, other countries, are incredibly jealous of what you guys have done. Right? So no one should, on the basis of the enthusiastic reception of FTX, be surprised that people would wonder now, in light of what has happened, what the deal is. I mean, the editorial in The Guardian says, in April, Prime Minister Pralay Brave Davis tweeted, "Since moving to our shores, FTX has left positive footprints throughout the Bahamas. Today, they continue to make positive impressions with the groundbreaking of their new headquarters. I look forward to attending the grand opening of FTX Bahamian headquarters." Right? So there's a great deal of enthusiasm around this company, and why not? You have a $24 billion company in a new area of development that you have been trying yourself to promote, comes in, and begins to do very tangible things in the country, you're excited. You're excited. That blows up on you. Well, the commentary on that now becomes on you and everybody else, because people want to know what would be the government's response, reaction to this. Of course, the government has to gather information, find out what the deal is in full. But, you know, don't be surprised when people ask you for more comment. That's going to happen. It's going to come. This text, can you explain how bankruptcy works in the Bahamas? Bankruptcy in the Bahamas don't work. Bankruptcy in the Bahamas is like a blunt instrument, bro. When you get, what happens is you can't apply for bankruptcy in the Bahamas. So you don't go to the Bahamas, to the courts, and say, "I am filing Chapter 9 bankruptcy." What happens is people you owe who you don't pay can go and put you in court and try to get their money. And the courts can assess your situation and say, you know what? You are unable to meet your obligations, your debt obligations, and you are a bankrupt. And once you are declared a bankrupt in the Bahamas, you don't recover from that. You are a bankrupt, and that has implications for whether you could run in the House of Assembly and all kinds of other things in this planet that you could do, because you are deemed a bankrupt, and that's the stigma on you legally for life. Now, until we change our laws such that you can, in the United States, they have something called Chapter 9 Reorganization Bankruptcy. And so what that does is it allows you to, as an entity, or even sometimes even as a person, to come to terms with your debtors. where maybe you pay 50 cents on the dollar or pay them off under some terms and so forth, and there's restrictions put on some of your movements, et cetera. But Donald Trump has been through this about four times, right? And you can recover from that. So it doesn't end you as a person. It doesn't stop you from going back in business. Donald Trump's companies and what have you may have been declared bankrupt, and he still became president of the United States of America because the way they organize it, there is not quite like it in the Bahamas. Bankruptcy is quite draconian. It's a reputational death sentence in some respects. All right, so he didn't file bankruptcy in the Bahamas because you don't file bankruptcy in the Bahamas. It's bankruptcy filing as it's alleged as taking place in the United States of America, and he would do that to stop the hemorrhaging on his assets. So, young man, 30 years old. I want you all to think about that for a moment. 30 years old. Really young man, right? I want you to think about. I mean, yes, and what's his name? Who owns Facebook? Young fellow too. Bill Gates was very young when the created Windows. Jeff Bezos was young when he started Amazon. So youth is not an impediment, but boy, let me tell you something. It does mean that you are not maybe as savvy. See, you could come up with a brilliant idea, but the business operation side of life, the governance structure side of life, that's a different kettle of fish. Right, and it's hard sometimes for owners to relinquish some of the power that they have by ceding that power to a professional board of experts who could say to you and check you and say, bro, that transaction or that effort or that business strategy is not appropriate. We do not approve of that. Right, so you can sound off on them and tell them things, and they could say to you, we don't see that working because of this, and we don't see that working because of that. It's helpful. I can tell you really, like, while the freedom to make choices and decisions in business when it's only you is wonderful, it is also problematic. I know of business things that I have been involved with, which where it would have been grand to have people to say, you know what, Chivago, How about scale that down here and so forth and so forth, but you don't do it, and sometimes you run into failure, you know? 30 years old, running a $24 billion enterprise. You got cash to burn. That's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, under those kinds of circumstances, man, I would suggest you want a strong corporate governance framework. You want a strong board. You even want on your board some people who are prepared to tell you, man, stop talking nonsense. That's a bad idea. Bad idea. Very bad idea. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. You want that. I'm telling you, man, you want that. In running this country, you want that. You want some people who say, Prime Minister, PM, don't do that. PM, please don't do that. Listen, you better be careful and don't be afraid. I remember, if I might say so myself, you see Ruth Miller, who used to be financial secretary? Let me tell you something. I salute that woman. Because if Ruth Miller did not agree with Prime Minister Ingram, as strong a personality as he was, she was going to tell him. She's going to tell him, you can't do that. That's not possible. And you need that. You need that. You need that kind of thing because it's a kind of guidance and advice that helps you check your own ideas. Right? And it just makes sense. Some of us, we don't like opposition. Well, actually, most people don't like opposition, right? But it's useful to have not people who oppose you because they dislike you. That's nonsense. That's stupidity. Let me tell you something. If you don't like somebody because you don't like somebody, like you just don't like somebody, that's stupid. right? So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about people who are envious of people. People who, because, oh, you ain't F&M, I don't like you. You ain't PLP, I don't like you. Or you think you know everything and I don't like you. That's just pure ignorance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who say to you, who are prepared to say to you, I listened to the idea that you just proffered, and here is the reason why I think it will not work. I think it's a bad idea. That's a different kind of people. They're the kind of people you need around you. Whether that's your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your auntie, or your friend. If your friend is not prepared to tell you when they think you are wrong, you ain't got no friend. You got somebody who is ensuring that their interests and yours are tied, and they're not prepared to take a principled stand with you so that you could be a better person and they could be a better person. But if you have somebody who's prepared to say to you, but Shivagru, I hear you, I listen to you, but I can be honest with you, I don't agree with that, and here's the reason why. Even if you could say, you know, in my gut, I can't explain to you why I think that's wrong, but in my gut, something just tells me that's wrong. That's a friend. Not somebody who's going to be bringing you down because they're trying to talk bad to you and bad about you and your character and all that kind of nonsense. If people observe, Shivagi and I observe that, you know, you get easily agitated in this situation and that situation, they're not attacking your character. They're just speaking of a trait that you have. Right? When people are trying to bring you down, bring you low, man, don't stay with my life. That's not the kind of people you need around you. But people who are prepared to make you sharper, that's the kind of people you need. And in business, that's very helpful. Very helpful. There's a difference between saying to somebody, I think what you said just now was untrue, and saying, I think you're stupid. There's a difference between saying, I think that idea is a bad idea, it may even be a stupid idea, than saying, I think you are a stupid person. That's different. There's a difference. This text says, did he have a risk manager? Well, I don't know. He kept talking about how he missed red flags. I can't see the Securities Commission allowing any securities firm to exist without a credit risk manager. It depends. It depends on what the business. This is an exchange. This was an exchange. So buyer, seller. We put them together. We provide custodial services in respect of the things that they are trading and so forth, right? So, right, like, so you look at what the risk is there, right? They were doing some trading, but that wasn't what's licensed here. They were licensed here as an exchange under the DARE Act. An exchange, not a securities firm per se. They were licensed as an exchange, right? They're not. Anyway, when I'm sure as time goes on, the people who know most about this kind of thing will help us all understand it better. What? Could be a lesson. Could be a nice lesson for how we need to go about these things. I can tell you one thing, the discussions are very live. They ain't stopped yet. There are chat groups and chat areas, and it's just continuous discussions around this. I mean, and some wild things may be said about it by people who do not know what, in fact, they are talking about. But the problem, I think, that is going to arise is the extent to which their activities, FTX's activities, involved behavior that were not intended for the license they had. That's a, see, a regulator has to look at, okay, what did I license you to do? And what are the parameters that exist for the activity that you're supposed to do? If you operate within the parameters of the activities that you're supposed to do and something goes wrong, then I have to try and figure out what went wrong, what can do be done to remedy that. If, however, you have been doing activities that you were not licensed to do. Y'all remember this happened recently in Freeport? Remember in Freeport, Gold Rock had some issue where the notion was that they were doing some part of their business was not included in their license. That's what somebody said was the case, right? So that can happen. Like sometimes your business evolves and you start to do something, and then somebody said, but you know, because I don't know if you all know this, right? But on a business license application, you are supposed to put what you're doing, what you're going to be doing. You even, like, if you're selling peanut rice and whatever, you have to put on there what you're doing. So if you don't put on there, I'm going to sell liquor, and then you get found out to be selling liquor later on, you have an issue because you weren't licensed to sell liquor. You were licensed to sell all these other things. You put on the license, but you didn't put liquor. You said, but liquor is like some people's consumed. It doesn't matter. You have to do what your license has been granted to do. The license by the state is for a specific activity. Same thing in the financial services world. You are licensed to do a particular thing. If you're in insurance, you sell insurance, right? If that's your license, it's insurance. And it has to be either domestic insurance or external insurance. And if you're a domestic insurance licensee, then you get to sell insurance to Bahamian citizens and residents. If you are a international and external insurer, then you can only sell them to external people. You can't sell them to Bahamians. So your license dictates what you can do. Right? So if I give you a license, and so what some people don't realize is, In the investment world, so we have investment fund licenses, we have security brokerage licenses, and these kinds of things, right? You have your trust license, you have your banking license, you have your corporate service provider license, and the like. What people don't realize is some of those licenses enable you to offer products and services only to sophisticated investors. Now, a sophisticated investor is someone who is, you know, got a certain level of wealth and extensive knowledge in the investment world. And so basically what the regulators are saying is, listen, you're sophisticated. You go do your doing. You don't, the disclosure requirements associated with what you do may be limited, and you go do what you have to do. And if you get in trouble, then boom, that's on you. Because you're a sophisticated investor. You're supposed to know better. We leave you to yourself. It's that average investor, the ordinary soul who wants to make a couple dollars, they ain't got no buggy load of money out there to be putting under exposure, that the regulators don't want you dealing with unless there are extensive disclosure provisions that have been complied with and that kind of thing. Now, if you were set up for a sophisticated investor, then start trading with a non-sophisticated investor and get them in trouble, now you are operating outside your license. That's the problem. Was FTX doing that? Well, I can tell you one thing. If you've been dealing with derivatives and them kind of sophisticated security instruments, you ain't dealing with no average investors. Because average investors, derivatives are complex, period. They're just complex instruments. I mean, listen to me. Let me tell you something. Yeah? People in the financial world,
This is their job. Their job is to find ways to make money, right? And they sit around thinking about ways to repackage basic assets such that by the time as they finish repackaging that asset, you can't even tie the thing you bought to the thing that backs it. So let me give you an example of that, right? So you have a mortgage. Brethren say, okay, you have a mortgage with this bank. I tell you what, let's package a bunch of these mortgages together. And we're going to then call them home something something security instrument. And we're going to sell them to people because we're going to chop this up and what have you and sell pieces to these people because maybe they wouldn't have been able to buy a $100,000 mortgage, but they could buy a 10,000 piece of a mortgage. And so now we get 10 of them buying a 10,000 piece of the mortgage. Now we got a 100,000 mortgage that we just farm out. And the real underlying value of the mortgage, really only $80,000. But we just cleared 120 grand on that. So now they pick that up. Then the next person say, yeah, but you know what? We have some additional people who might be able to pay $5,000 on this. So let me break this down further into some kind of securitized instrument, and we could start trading that in this part of the world and sell that up so that they could get in on the market. And by the time as they finish, them people that make one additional $5,000 on that. And see, all along the way, the finance person is getting a commission on each of these trades. Then all of a sudden something happens. Somebody discovers, you know, the house that backing this $200,000 instrument, security instrument, is only worth $80,000. That's a net negative position of $120,000. If something happened, who can fund that? Then all of a sudden, somebody start panicking, trying to sell off the thing. And that's when the trigger happens and the thing starts going downhill from there. That's what it happens. Because somebody started to realize, you know what? This thing is really not what it's made out to be. Now, if you keep running and running and running, like nobody picks up. But at some point, boy, monkeys put question to Ima, like they say. And that's when the whole thing fall out. And that's what happened in FTX's case to some degree, is that when people started doing their due diligence, they realized that FTX's liabilities were being backed by its own tokens that it was trading, and the value of their own trades propped up the value of the token. So if in fact FTX stopped trading in that token, the token's value wouldn't be worth what it was worth, and therefore the liability would be underwater. And that triggered the people started wanting to withdraw their monies and withdraw their money. Well, you know, when everybody goes to withdraw their money at the same time, that's called a run. And if you have that kind of run on a bank, ain't no bank. If all of us went to the bank right now and said, let me have my money, that's not going to happen. You can't. So that's why you try to manage in a way where you avoid those kind of things. In fact, in some of these investment schemes, there are requirements that you can only apply to withdraw your money over a period of time. And so it takes some time before you can actually get your monies when you apply for it, to avoid that kind of thing. So, you know, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
ain't much to got. The lady run into me much to got.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this interesting Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Listen to me. Meteoric rises in wealth is rare in the world. I want to say that again. Meteoric rise in wealth is rare in the world. In other words, it is a very unusual circumstance in which somebody comes across an idea that makes them wildly rich. That's very rare. The people who you see are wealthy in the world, especially if they are young, most of them are inheritors of wealth. Okay? They might be third generation, they might be second generation. They may not have worked for that wealth. They may not have, but their parents worked like hell for that wealth. Whether it is the steel tycoons, or the railroad tycoons, or the oil tycoons, or the like, they are the ones who did the sweating. They are the ones who took the risk. They are the ones who came nearest to failure. They are the ones who failed several times over and then came back. Whether it was Disney or Ford or the Waltons, the notion that you can come to great wealth with ease and quickly is really a far-fetched notion. Most people who are going to make wealth, they are going to just grind out at it. They are going to spend some sleepless nights. They are going to spend some unthinkable hours doing what has to do to make that operation work, to convince customers that they are the ones, so forth and so forth and so forth. But they are not the ones who typically get the spotlight of our attention. So we look at these athletes. Let me get as an example. We look at the Kobe Bryants, the late. We look at the Shaquille O'Neal, the LeBron James, etc. And we think, my God, massive wealth, massive wealth. Yeah, massive wealth. But nobody has spent time filming them dudes 4 o'clock in the morning in a gym, lifting weights after weights for hours and hours, shooting thousands of shots, sweating, refusing to eat certain meals because it's not possible with their diet, with their athletic requirements to do those kinds of things. Nobody knows the pain and suffering that they endured to get where they are. That's because that's just not the story. We don't like stories like that. We don't typically show stories like that. It takes time to do that kind of story. Michael Jordan, and then he was just a wizard. Nonsense. Michael Jordan's high school basketball team didn't even pick him to play. Right? So the notion that wealth is easy in the current environment to make is a false notion. The global economic environment is so competitive, it is difficult. It is really difficult in the business environment to generate wealth quickly. It is really, it's largely the consequence of competition. Because like you, lots of other people are out there trying to get rich. And they are looking for business ideas. And the people that are most business ideas, whether it's to supply essential services or some other level of luxury services, most of them have been taken up. Think of something that nobody's providing by way of food, by way of drink, by way of shelter, by way of clothing, by way of luxury, by way of vanity. Somebody's doing it already. And in order for you to get some of the wealth that they are generating, you have to displace them as the preference of a customer. It is not easy. It's not easy to do that. That's why for the vast majority of people who are in fact methodically generating wealth, the formula remains the same. Spend less than you earn. Take the excess that you make and put that into a saving and investment program, which over time will build you wealth. Because what you are doing is not starting a business, but you are investing in a successful business through which you can, by way of dividends and capital appreciation, earn and build your wealth. And someone doing that consistently over 20, 25 years will, in that 20, 25 years, see themselves come into a good chunk of wealth. Now the problem with that is it ain't sexy. So you put $200 away today, and it don't look sexy because somebody asks you, well, how much money you got saved? $200. It don't look sexy. The other guy got $200 million. And you're thinking, oh, Jesus, that's the way to go. But guess what? Consistently putting away and investing $200 over 20 years will bring you into a place you wouldn't even imagine if you can show the patience to do it. And most of us can't. I didn't have this knowledge when I was 20 years old, because if I did, I would have invested, like somebody asked me, in gold. I would have put that $10,000 in gold when I was 23 years old. Listen to me, folks. If I had invested, let me see if I could do that calculation. If I had invested $10,000 in gold, say, in gold, say 30 years ago, what would I have today? Let me see if I could get that, find that out. Boy, I see that. Let's just suffice it to say I'd have over $1 million sitting in cash today. Well over $1 million sitting in cash. Right? So I tell my kids who are younger, these millennials in their 20s, work the program. It's consistency that matters. Consistency that matters. It's deferring present consumption today for a period of time, and the investment and the returns will be yours, and you'll have that cash. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, man. And yourself?
Okay, man. How can I do you too bad in Freeport, eh?
I haven't been able to check yet, but as far as I know.
I was kind of there, but I thought you was trying to come out. I guess you was trying to go there.
Yeah, I was trying to go. Yeah.
What I call about, you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. 30 years old, this cryptocurrency, he is only 30 years old.
He's 30 years old.
But, Mr. Lang, mm-hmm. These people, I think, Valdez Russell was the agent over here, right?
Mm-hmm. He was the vice president.
I've been on your shows, man, umpteen times. Warren McCarthy, everybody's show. But what I'm saying, there was a gentleman that came on and was warning about this, you know.
Oh, yeah?
He was saying, but then they was coming, I mean, these crystal companies were coming on every day, and I wonder if anybody was listening to this man. This man being on a couple of the talk shows, and he said that there's something to do with Bitcoin and stuff too, right?
Well, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency that might have been traded on FTX's app.
But I know you're talking about the Bitcoin part of it. He said there will be millions or billions of Bitcoins in the world, but there's only a few of them that is good. So somebody was saying that somebody will get robbed.
Well,
and a huge amount of people will get robbed.
Yeah, let me just help you. Let me just help you with something for clarification. So Bitcoin is only one of the cryptocurrencies. Just like the U.S. dollar is a currency and the pound is a currency and the dollar, Bahamian dollar, is a currency.
And the Canadian dollar is a currency.
Bitcoin is just a cryptocurrency. Ethereum and others that are also cryptocurrencies. So Bitcoin is just like the granddaddy of them all.
Okay. Yeah, okay? But this man was on warning while this Russell was on, selling their thing, you see. I was just
Well, the thing about it is, I don't know what they were warning about, because that cryptocurrencies exist. Okay,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them. They're not illegal. There's nothing wrong with them. They exist. Mm-hmm. People who believe in them and use them and trade them, that's nothing wrong with them. So all FTX said was, people are trading these things. I want to create a good platform for them to trade them.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with having an exchange to trade the stuff.
Right.
What seems to have happened is something the owner did that ran him into financial difficulty. Just like some oil company tycoon could do something that runs the company into difficulty, that could have happened too. So no one should run around thinking that anyone associated with FTX has done anything wrong here in the Bahamas and the like, so forth and so forth. That is not even close to what has happened. It isn't even about the Bitcoin itself.
Okay.
This seems to have been about business decisions or operational decisions being made by the CEO that ran them into difficulty. So I want people to be clear. This is not like a fraud. Let's put it like this. There's no indication here of any fraud or impropriety. So no one associated with FTX here has to be running around like they did something wrong.
Okay.
At least insofar as anything we are aware of. This is a question of somebody made some decisions, and at the end of the day, they now are unable to meet their financial obligations to their clients.
I see the play.
That's what's happening now.
Okay.
And the company is failing because of it. If it got bailed out, if Binance, which had indicated it would bail it out, had bailed it out, we wouldn't be talking about it this way.
Okay.
But Binance looked at the thing and said, you know what? Given all the circumstances, I can't get involved. And so that's where the free fall started.
Yeah. They can't go along with it anymore.
Yeah.
I understand.
And so they have no rescuer now.
Right.
Okay,
okay then, Mr. Lang.
Okay, my friend. Take
Thanks
care.
For explaining.
Yeah. This text says, good day, Honorable Shivago Lang. So would you consider Arawak X a great startup investment platform for beginners or young people looking to build wealth? So far, it seems like, it's been helping the people looking for funding to get that funding. And you always say a thing is good when it is doing what it set out to do. So you have a number of businesses that have registered on the platform that have secured funding and are continuing to do so. So, yes, I'd say they seem to be a very good platform for doing that, and the people who are using it are getting the results that they are seeking through it. This text is, millennials are 20s and 30s now. Okay, are they? So, Mr. Lang, thank you for such an important service you render to our country. Be blessed. You're welcome. Thank you. I'm trying to do what I can within the limitations of my life. Okay, we got to take our final break, folks. Pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund.
That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets, add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful but challenging Thursday afternoon. Listen to me. Producer, listen to this. If you are out there, how would you like to have $581,140.30 in the bank? Let me ask you again. Is there anyone out there who would like to have $581,140.30 sitting in your bank account? Okay. If you're 30 years old, if you're 20 years old today, and you can imagine yourself being 50. If you are 30 years old, and you can imagine yourself being 60, when you turn 50 or 60, would you like to have $581,000 sitting in your bank account when you turn 50 or 60? Listen to this. So if you start out with $1,000, right, that you invest for 30 years, that you get a return of 3% on, that's compounded annually, with a monthly contribution of $1,000 for 30 years, you'll have the $581,000. How much you start out with? $1,000, right? You could say, okay, I can't do $1,000 a month, Shivago. I can do $300 a month. Okay, let's do the $300 a month. What do you end up with? $176,000. When you're 50 or 60, what you could do $176,000 when you're 50 or 60? Just by putting $300 away, starting out with $1,000. My point is, like, this get-rich-quick scheme, notion that plenty of people have in their head, good luck with that, right? If it works out for you, God bless you, man. But for most people, what is necessary is a steady, consistent saving and investment plan over some years. That patience will yield great benefits to that person. This text says, before you go, sir, I want to personally thank you for the daily knowledge you give us. Please understand that you are appreciated. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for saying so. I really do. This text is very good show, Mr. Lang. It never fails to amaze me how some people revel in others' failure. The young man needs to be commended for his genius, but like you say, sometimes age and experience makes one more savvy. There are a few people like Ruth Miller. Today, she was always no nonsense. It was because of her that I became a nurse. Wow. I had the privilege of working under her as a very young nurse. She never compromised standards, principles, nurse. Yeah. In fact, she was the financial secretary when I was Minister of State for Finance for part of the time. And so, yeah, I know the no nonsense nature
of the woman for sure. This text says, very good show, Mr. Lang. Thanks for imparting your knowledge. You're welcome. This text says, Mr. Lang, now a day, the bank charges would eat up the interest. No, it wouldn't. Because the way you're putting your money is not in the bank. You're putting your money in an investment program, right? Even if you invested in bonds, right, you would be earning 4, 5, 6%. So this is not the bank. So don't blame the bank on that, okay? See, bank charges relate to your use of the bank. So if you don't use the bank, you're not going to get the charge. And most of us ain't got that much money in the bank, so even if the bank giving us charges, the bank ain't giving you charge $3, $4. Yeah, now, when we doing a lot of transactions, yes, it's going to build up. But what I'm talking about is an investment program that doesn't involve the bank. There are a lot of funds that are operated by Bahamian financial institutions that can be used. So you don't even have to have the sophisticated knowledge to invest. You just use them and let their expertise guide your investment behavior. What we need to do is let's not make excuses. Don't give yourself any reason not to do anything, because it's nonsense. Because if right now what you're doing is just spending the money, I guarantee you that if you are spending your money today, I guarantee you this one thing. You will not have it tomorrow. If you spend that money on a Frappuccino today, you will not have that $5 tomorrow. You could believe that, right? So the question is, if you want to have some money tomorrow, what are you going to do? You have to put some money away today. The good thing is, if you put the money away in an investment, in an interest-bearing instrument, you will both likely have that money and the additional money that gets earned from it. Remember that money that I was talking about, the $581,000? Guess what? Of that money, guess how much of that money represents monies that you actually put in? Of the whole money, of the whole $581,000, your total contribution was only $360,000. Interest. You earned, without doing anything, $220,000 of that. Okay? So that's the idea, is to be able to make your money work for you. Right? And that's for the people who want to do that. Not everybody needs or wants to do that. Some people want to live a very simple life, where they live within their means, they're eating comfortably, they're well sheltered, they get to be able to enjoy the things of life that they enjoy, as however simple that is. They get to raise their families, and that's good. I have no problems with that at all. They've created a situation in which when they get old, they have an asset that brings them income passively that they could live off. Like, see, me, because I started out late, right? My senior years will be financed by some assets that generate income for me. I didn't fix that. Between pension programs and those income strains, that's how I got to do it. Now, once all my debts are paid off and all that kind of stuff, that's just pure cash coming in to fund my life after all of this other stuff I'm doing, right? So you wake up in the morning, you go tend your farm, they ain't got no mortgage to pay, you ain't got no rent to pay, and you have that money coming in, and you could say, okay, well, I think I'm just going to go and have me a nice dinner with the family, or I'm going to go and travel a bit and see the world, and I may be on the planet for another 15, 20 years, and God bless you. I want y'all to know, I am waking myself in the situation where I am not afraid to die. I am not. I'm not like, I don't want to be that person. That don't mean I want nobody to kill me, right? No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying where I accept that this is an inevitability for me. So I'm not trying to play like I can be on the planet forever, right? And so, you know, so I'm good with that. I'm good with that. And so you try to organize yourself in a way where, you know, you leave some stuff for your family, your children. You know what I mean? I
you know, keep that insurance going. You, whatever assets you have, when you're gone, you're done. And the way I fixing it, like my son is 14, my youngest son is 14, the rest of my children are adults, right? The way I'm fixing it for that little boy is, like, whatever accounts I have, I can make him a signatory on that account. So whatever happens to me, ain't nobody got to talk about no will or stuff, because it can automatically go to him, right? Because I don't, you know, I have a will, but I'm saying you get to a point where you start to think about the next group of people and just trying to live a sufficiently orderly contributing life that you can, right? And this, so sometimes it's big-eyed, I won't be Sam Bankman Fried and make up all this buggy load of money. If fortune give you that, bless the Lord, thank you, Jesus, for you. But for most people, a consistent, steady financial plan is what it takes. Be clear that the number of billionaires in the world as a percentage of the human population is very, very small. Very small. Okay? And there's a reason for that. Because in our economic systems, becoming a billionaire is not easy. It's not easy. Right? And so you play the odds and stop believing that your energy should be put on that chase. Let me tell you something. So the top 0.01% richest people, individuals, that's the 520,000 people who have at least $19 million now hold 11% of the world's wealth. Right? So the number of billionaires in the world, and according to Forbes magazine in 2021, was 2,755. So there are more than 8 billion people on planet Earth. And less than 3,000 of them are billionaires. The probability of you and I entering that arena is so low. Not impossible, but just low. So what I'm saying is, be reasonable. So we went from FTX to be reasonable. So, Mr. Lang, you are a wise man. The Lord is good. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a great day, a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shavaro Lang, your host.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.